This edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles is sponsored by Radio KSCR, variety radio at its best. 3000 Records, where promoting independent musicians, bands, and record labels is the name of the game. Diamond Disc Audio, professional mastering at any budget. And Capacity Productions, the number one source in online promotions. Ever get a feeling there's nothing on the radio? Then tune in to Radio KSCR. KSCR Radio is variety radio at its best. Spinning the best in rap, rock, R&B, alternative, and electro. Experience what you've been missing. Tune in and turn yourself on to great music. Visit us at RadioKSCR.com. Get famous with a little help from Capacity Productions, a specialized service getting you more likes, followers, fans, and clients on all social networking sites. Capacity Productions is the number one source for online promotions with over 15 years experience. So what are you waiting for? Get famous with Capacity Productions. Check us out at CapacityProductions.net. Put your finger on the pulse of the music industry. You want a team to promote your music? Then look no further than 3000 Records, where promoting independent musicians, bands, and record labels is the name of the game. So get connected and gain exposure to the masses. You've got a career to get started. 3000 Records. Visit us at 3000records.com.
Diamond Disc Audio is a full-service multimedia company specializing in audio mastering services as well as mixing, CD and DVD duplication, video editing and authoring, graphic design, web design, and lots more. Let us help you put those finishing touches on your final mixes in the all-important mastering stage. Don't you want your project to be the equivalent to major label releases when it comes to volume, EQ, and compression? That's where we come in. We are dedicated to providing top quality creative services and affordable prices to indie artists and music companies. Based in Nashville, we have many major credits and have worked on thousands of indie projects over the last 16 years. Visit our website now at www.diamonddiscaudio.com.
You're listening to Rockwired.com, online radio that rocks. From Rockwired Sound in Albuquerque, New Mexico, of all places, this is Rockwired Radio Profiles with your host Brian Lush, exclusively at Rockwired.com. Today, Rockwired gives it up for Royal Holland and his debut EP, Volume 1, The Maze. Stick around for more. Rockwired Radio Profiles is powered by Rockwired Media, LLC. A limited liability company. Please stand by. Steve McQueen, prettiest boy I've ever seen. See him shake on the movie screen. Jimmy Dean. Welcome to the latest edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles, exclusively at Rockwired.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and the music is out there. And today, we're giving it up for synth folk artist Royal Holland and his debut EP, Volume 1, The Maze. Rockwired had a chance to speak with Royal regarding his new release, and you're going to hear that interview in just a few minutes. But first, from his debut EP, Volume 1, The Maze, here is Royal Holland with Twin Rivers.
like twin rivers that could only bear you away. But no matter how hard I try, I'm just a tree on the riverside, just drinking.
That was Royal Holland with Twin Rivers. Check him out at www.royalhollandsongs.com. Rockwired had a chance to speak with Royal regarding his music, and here's how the interview went.
Well, you've got this EP, The Maze, out, and Volume 1, The Maze, I should say. And it's a great listen. It's you know, got some great production to it, and now that it's out there for people to get a listen to, how do you feel about the work that's behind you?
I feel really, really good about it. I got to work with Brian Olive. He was the one who recorded and produced it. He was in the band The Greenhorns and Soledad Brothers, and now is doing his own solo thing. But he's done great work. He's won a Grammy with recording with Dr. John and Dan Auerbach, and but that's not the extent of the experience that I had with him. Like, those are some of his accomplishments, but recording with him was the best recording experience I've ever had. He's just a really laid back, great guy. I feel like he did a really good job of pulling out exactly what needed to be pulled out of the songs. I performed them all myself, so it was nerve-wracking, kind of, as a process. It was a lot of work, and he was really supportive and just very calm about the whole thing, even though I was becoming anxious. But yeah, I'd say it sounds great to me. I enjoy it. I think other people are enjoying it as well, who are hearing it. And that's exactly what I hoped would happen.
And this is also your first ever, you know, solo release. So talk about how it feels not being, you know, a part of a democracy anymore, but the one calling all the shots.
Right, right. Well, you can imagine it's good and bad.
Right.
The good things about it are, well, let's start with the bad things, I guess.
Okay, that's better.
Right, right. So the bad things about it are it is a lot of work, and I'm doing a lot of it on my own. I have a lot of support. Friends and family are very supportive. But it's still, like, when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, you just have to kind of work through it and do it. So that's difficult. It's nice bouncing ideas off of other people sometimes, and I still do that to a certain extent. And then, of course, when I tour, I just got off a leg of a tour where my friend Kendall Bruns, who was in the band Koala Fires with me, actually played some dates as well. So, you know, sometimes I still kind of get to have that experience. But then again, it's kind of like a grandparents and their grandkids experience. I get to give them back at the end of it. So I'd say the good things about being a solo act, I definitely get to focus on what I think is important. And time after time, it's very enriching and fulfilling to be able to do that. And just having the initial vision or audio vision, I guess, if you could call that a thing.
The oral sense.
Okay. Yes, right, right. Of what I wanted these songs to be, and then, you know, that actually coming to fruition is a really big positive, I think. It's also, I think, so going out on the road, it's cheaper. I don't have to pay people to play with me. And yeah, I think those are some of the real positives.
And you have a tour that's going to start in the fall, correct? I mean, you're good.
Yeah, I'm actually about halfway through it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So where has it taken you already? I mean, if, you know, because it says Midwest and East Coast, so.
Yep, I've been out to Philly, played in New York. I've played just this past leg. We went to Canton, Ohio, Cleveland. We played in Ann Arbor, Michigan. It's all a blur now. I'm trying to remember.
It's okay. It's all right. But talk about the reaction that you get when you're on stage, you know, and you're you know, playing the music. I mean, well, describe what the reactions have been like.
Yeah, it's people are interested for sure. They I think it's something a little different than what they've heard before. A lot of people. Excuse me. A lot of people are coming up to me after shows and saying they didn't know exactly what to expect because I'm holding an acoustic guitar. But then there's a lot of different nuances in the music. Like there are sequenced drum beats that I play live drums on top of, or live drum tracks on top of. And then we just kind of layer from there. So oftentimes there's an organ part or, you know, some other synth parts that really flesh out the sound. One song I play a harmonica. I've started doing this new thing where I mounted some sleigh bells to a hi-hat stand. I saw a band that I played with in Columbus actually do that. And I was like, man, I got to do that. So I play that with my foot while I'm singing and playing guitar. So people come up and they're telling me that it's a very interesting sound. They really enjoy it and that it's something they haven't really heard before. So that excites me.
Now I you know, the name of your last band, Koala Fires, it's painting some sort of a picture in my head. So please tell me the inspiration for that. I mean, I know it's not necessarily pertinent to the music you're doing now, but
oh no, it's a fun story.
Okay. Please.
right. So I have a good friend named Dan Johnson who was living in Florida at the time, and we would talk on the phone occasionally. And one day we were talking on the phone, and he was listing off band names. He had just come up with a big list and was rattling them off to me and seeing what I thought about them. So he, one of the names on the list was Qualifiers. And I said, Dan, did you just say Koalifiers? And he said, yes. I said, Qualifiers.
Oh, okay.
So saying qualifiers, like in a race qualification sort of sense. And I thought he was saying qualifiers, as in Australian marsupial.
Right.
And so that's kind of how it came about. And I said, you know, if I ever start a band again, that's what I'm calling it. And so I did. He ended up playing bass in the band, actually, the first lineup. And, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
I see. I remember when I first started Rockwired, and I would type in the name in a web search, and it would say, do you mean required? You know, so.
Right.
But anyway, about qualifiers, I mean, talk about, you know, we'll talk about what all went through your head as you saw the end come near. You know, yeah. As you realized, I got to do my own thing and I can't, you know, stay here. You know, I mean, talk about what brought that feeling on and what it felt like, I suppose.
Sure. At the end.
Well, it was.
Right. The thing was, so basically what had happened is before the final lineup of the band, I was playing in the band with, again, my friend Kendall Bruns, Dan Johnson, and a drummer named Mike Pellucci. And Dan ended up moving to Korea to pursue a teaching experience that he wanted to have. The drummer, his work schedule ended up being pretty difficult to work around. And then Kendall stuck around the longest, and we filled in the other spots, the drums and bass. And then he ended up moving to Chicago, so I was kind of in limbo. I was going through a pretty rough time as well in my personal life, and I was writing the songs that would become the final Qualifiers release, which was called "The Doom of the Norns," and so I kind of took a break from playing out too much. Until I could get the songs written and kind of get the new lineup solidified. And we did end up playing out some. And then I started wanting to record the songs and decided to do it myself, which was maybe the dumbest idea I've ever had. But also, it was a very fulfilling process. It just took a lot of my energy. So, as soon as the album was done, I was tired also of coordinating everybody's schedules. It was just a lot of promotional effort on my part. I was doing it all myself anyway. And so I thought, you know, I think it's the end for this project. The album was done. I felt really proud of what I'd done. And I just kind of said, you know, guys, I think I'm moving somewhere else artistically. They all understood. They were disappointed, but they understood. And so we actually wrapped up that project earlier than I had said to the press that we were going to, and ended up playing our last show last August. So that's kind of what was going through my mind, and I was already kind of working on the material that was going to become this new Royal Holland stuff at that time. So it just felt like a really natural breaking point.
And so the songs that you've written for as Royal Holland, I mean, right now this EP is Volume One. I mean, you know, how many volumes can we expect?
There will be three volumes, and they're all written. And then after the three volumes, my hope is to collect the three volumes onto vinyl and make that a release. And then I've also got about 80% of the next LP written as well. Which will be more of a concept album, and I guess the first true Royal Holland LP. So,
yeah, I interviewed a band yesterday that has a concept album out. I mean, sometimes, you know, in the age of the MP3, when people are like, you know, I don't even want to say buy singles because they're not really doing that anymore.
Right.
but you know, I mean, you always hope that the audience is still there, you know, for that the attention span is there for like a concept album, you know. Right. I mean, you know, no one wants music to tell them a story anymore.
Right, which I think is a shame. There's a lot of good stories that are being told through music today, and I mean, ultimately, it comes down to why am I doing this? And you know, I want to be able to make a comfortable living, but that's not my drive. My drive is because I'm a storyteller. I sing songs about things that affect me and that I hope affect others. And that's really what keeps me going.
Check out Royal at his official website, www.royalhollandsongs.com. Here is Royal Holland once again with Devil's Night. listening to Rockwired Radio Profiles exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks. Sometimes I feel like I'm slipping in the same old shit. Rockwired Media is pleased to announce the rockwired.com Artist of the Month, Wayland, and their new single, Get a Little. Home by 7 by 11, I'm ready to crash. This mean old world keeps knocking me. An object in motion tends to stay in motion, and there ain't nothing stopping Wayland from proving to the masses that rock and roll's not dead. Get a Little, the new single from Wayland, Rockwired.com's Artist of the Month. Visit them at www.waylandtheband.com. Monday morning showed up way too soon. Can't call in sick. Ever get a feeling there's nothing on the radio? Then tune in to Radio KSCR. KSCR Radio is variety radio at its best, spinning the best in rap, rock, R&B, alternative, and electro. Experience what you've been missing. Tune in and turn yourself on to great music. Visit us at RadioKSCR.com.
Disc Audio is a full-service multimedia company specializing in audio mastering services as well as mixing, CD and DVD duplication, video editing and authoring, graphic design, web design, and lots more. Let us help you put those finishing touches on your final mixes in the all-important mastering stage. Don't you want your project to be the equivalent to major label releases when it comes to volume, EQ, and compression? That's where we come in. We are dedicated to providing top-quality creative services and affordable prices to indie artists and music companies. Based in Nashville, we have many major credits and have worked on thousands of indie projects over the last 16 years. Visit our website now at www.diamonddiscaudio.com.
Get famous with a little help from Capacity Productions, a specialized service getting you more likes, followers, fans, and clients on all social networking sites. Capacity Productions is the number one source for online promotions with over 15 years experience. So what are you waiting for? Get famous with Capacity Productions. Check us out at capacityproductions.net. Passionate, fearless, innovative. Gorgeous Media is an award-winning firm specializing in artist development, branding, creative consultation, event planning, music supervision, publicity, and talent management for all areas of the entertainment industry, from music, film, fashion, theater, and art. To schedule a free consultation, email us at info@gorgeousmediagroup.com or call us at 323-782-9000. That number again is 323-782-9000. Without a doubt, the future is looking gorgeous. Visit us at gorgeousmediagroup.com. Put your finger on the pulse of the music industry. You want a team to promote your music? Then look no further than 3000 Records, where promoting independent musicians, bands, and record labels is the name of the game. So get connected and gain exposure to the masses. You've got a career to get started. 3000 Records. Visit us at 3000records.com. You're listening to Rockwired Radio Profiles exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks. Welcome back to the latest edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles, exclusively at rockwired.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and today we're giving it up for singer-songwriter Royal Holland and his debut EP, Volume 1, The Maze. Rockwired had a chance to speak with Royal regarding his music, and here's how the rest of the interview went.
And talk about how it got started, you know, the music making. I mean, talk about how...
Yeah, sure. it all goes back to to a woman named Naomi Stone. Well, I mean, it goes back to my family.
Well, Naomi Stone sounds hot. Who was she?
She was a widow in the town I grew up in.
Oh.
And
yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead. As you were.
It's going in the wrong direction here. No, she was great. My parents were musical growing up. My dad was always singing Beatles songs to us in you know, playing guitar, and my mom also sang. And so she wanted to give me piano lessons or get me in piano lessons. And Naomi Stone was, like I said, she lived in the town that I grew up in, and she gave piano lessons to kids. And so I would go over there once a week or once every 2 weeks and just play this piano. She was teaching me all about how to read music. And so finally I said, you know, all I really want to do is write a song. Can you teach me how to do that? And she said she would. She gave me some blank piano music paper and said if I wrote something that I could play it the next time I was there. So I was so excited. And I wrote a song about the video game Frogger. and played it, and she said, you know, it's you know, it's not very good. But at that point I had caught the bug, so I was in the marching band when I was in school, and then also just would pick up my dad's guitar and started playing it just string by string, picking out songs and listening to music that I loved and trying to emulate that, and just started writing songs and playing the drums in a band in high school. And then after that, I decided you couldn't get girls playing the drums. So I decided to start playing guitar and singing, and that's kind of how it went.
You're right about drummers not getting girls. I mean, if they do, they're ugly. I mean, it's awful. But anyway, to talk about the music scene you're surrounded by. I mean, me just looking at it from an outside perspective, it always seems to me like the Midwest has more interesting, you know, music scenes than you can find on the coasts. I don't know. I mean, well, what's it like there? I mean, you tell me.
Yeah, it's all we have to do. So
yeah,
there's nowhere to go. So you play in bands, and then you get all your friends in bands to come see your band. Cincinnati has grown as a music scene. They have some really good festivals now. Midpoint Music Festival and Bunbury are the two big ones. And I think they're seeing a lot more national acts come through. There are some really great staples of the local music scene, which make it feel like home to me. I live down the street from a venue called the Southgate House Revival, and, kind of cut my teeth as a singer-songwriter there, just going to open mic nights and playing my songs that I had written for other songwriters, which, as you know, is probably the most nerve-wracking thing you can do.
I didn't know people did that anymore.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, unless you were a major label person, but, you know, I mean, I didn't know that happened on an independent level.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I don't know of many other places that compare to it. Even other places I've traveled where I've played singer-songwriter nights, it's not quite the same. And I don't know if that's because it's not home to me. But even just all the people there's a great camaraderie between artists, and just a lot of discussions and sharing information and just being friends, which is always nice to have. So as I've been spreading my wings a bit, it's nice to know that that's here.
And talk about the songwriting process for you. How do you go about it?
I like that question. It's not exactly an easy process for me. It's difficult in a lot of ways. It used to be that I would just write a song and get everything out onto paper and write some music and not really revisit it at all. Now it's more of a process, a repetitive or iterative process, where you get the raw stuff out there right at first. And oftentimes I will just sit down with my iPhone and record a rough demo of whatever I'm thinking, or sing along just fake words, or just sing a melody to the chords that I'm playing. But then, especially with this material I've been doing, it doesn't stop there, because oftentimes I'm thinking about how I'm going to be performing this song live, and performing alone or with just one other person on stage, there's a lot of opportunity to fill the songs in interesting ways. And because I'm not really tied to a lineup of four different instruments, say, I can get pretty creative with it, and I can record some live tracks to play back along with the song while I'm playing it. So when it comes to fleshing out the songs, or I kind of do a little bit of production work myself and really try to hear what it's going to sound like live. But also with the words that I'm writing are probably the most deep from inside of me than any words I've written before. They're very meaningful to me, and you know, a lot of them are sad, and just ways that I'm working out that sadness, or trying to figure out exactly what it means. I was talking today about how I think I've figured out that I'm an optimistic nihilist, and I think a lot of the songs kind of follow that pattern. So as you can imagine, there's a lot of like tough material, but then there's always a tinge of, you know, that hope that the stories that we carry around inside us are what are meaningful in this life. So.
And is that a bird, or are you squeaking in your chair, or what's going on?
That's my dog. I'm so
okay. No, it's all right. This is rock and roll. We capture atmosphere.
Yeah, there anyway. You go.
But anyway, one of the songs that you know stood out for me was Twin Rivers. So talk about what inspired that track.
Well, Twin Rivers is a love song that I wrote. I started writing it as a love song, and the first verse actually, I think, really does convey that deep emotion that I feel. So then as I was writing it, of course my dark mind kind of took over, and the metaphor just started growing in my mind, and so it just kind of morphed into this idea that yeah, you have that love, but maybe it's unrequited, and maybe you'll never quite know it fully in your life. I feel like I have known it fully in my life. I do know it fully now. But you know, there are a lot of people who don't have that and who are searching for it. So yeah, that's kind of the process that song took. It was emotional writing it, and I feel like it helped me work that out.
And talk about how you connected with a producer like Brian Olive. I mean, how did that get set in motion?
Yeah, that's a funny story. I was all set to record with another engineer here in town, and he we were talking about it. He liked the demos that I recorded. He said, yeah, well, let's set up a time and talk about the project. So we did that and we discussed it. And then he ended up going to Thailand for some work for a couple of months.
What is it with people fleeing to Asia to get out of working with you? Well, this is like crazy.
I should take it as a sign, I guess.
Go east.
Right. Or maybe it's one door closes and another door opens. So maybe. All my doors just lead to Asia. So I was sitting around. I was kind of bummed that I wasn't going to get to record when I had hoped that I would. And I was just sitting at the Southgate House Revival, that place I was talking about.
Right.
Just hanging out with my friend Tim. And he's a drummer here in town. And we were just talking. And I was like, man, I'm just kind of bummed I'm not going to get to record and blah, blah, blah. I was like, do you know anybody who would be good? He said, yeah, I'm recording with a guy right now. His name's Brian. I was like, oh, okay. And he said it was Brian Olive. And I was like, yeah, I've heard of him. and he said, yeah, I'm recording with this other guy named Daniel Wayne, who's also an amazing singer-songwriter from here. And you should just go and talk to him and see what he thinks. So really, it was just that happenstance. And I ended up talking to Brian, and he really enjoyed the demos. And he's like, yeah, I really would love to work on this. And everything else is history, I guess. So we're actually going to record Volume 2 at the beginning of December. And I'm just going back and doing it with him. It was such a good experience.
And with this EP out, I mean, what would you like someone to come away with after they've heard it?
After they've heard this EP, I would like them to have an understanding that they may be going through a rough time, but, you know, they're not alone. We all live in this human condition, and that it's this tough stuff that we deal with is where the best things in life happen. You know, when things are going well, we oftentimes take all that for granted, and it's not worth anything. But that's what I really hope people get from this, and I feel like it conveys that. So,
check out Royal at www.royalhollandsongs.com, and here is Royal Holland once again with The Maze. Telling. That's going to do it for this edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles. A special thanks goes out to Royal Holland for his time and his music, and to Rhonda Brilliant of Rainmaker Media Group. For Rockwired, I'm Brian Lush, and remember, keep your eyes forward, never look back, and make it up as you go.
Prettiest boy I've ever seen.
Rockwired Radio Profiles is powered by Rockwired Media LLC, a limited liability company, and is available exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks.
Rock and roll. Rock.